Hello, and welcome to the Church on the Hill podcast. If you enjoy this podcast, we invite you to join us live this Sunday at 500 Sands Drive in San Jose, California. Visit churchonthehill.com for service times and directions, and also to learn more about connecting, growing, and serving at Church on the Hill. Now let's join lead pastor Scott Simorok as he teaches at Church on the Hill.
Hey, just in case you haven't heard the story, Jesus was crucified on a cross, dead and buried for 3 days, but on that morning the stone was rolled away, not so that Jesus could get out of the tomb, but so that we could go in and that we could have a hope, knowing that death couldn't hold him. And that hope is what we celebrate today. So happy Easter. I just want to make sure the message wasn't confusing at all today. There it is, right up front. So question, how do we get here? A year ago, man, we weren't together, right? You were at home, I was at home, watching myself on TV. Little different question. How did we get here? I mean, what I mean is, how did we get here? From one man who claimed to be God's son, who recruited 12 others to follow him. I mean, how did we get here today? And you might not know where we are today. Here's where we are today. Estimates say that there are 2.5 billion Christians in the world today. 2.5 billion Christians. That's one third of the planet. Let me give you some just scope on that. If you took the entire population of the United States, you took the entire population of Europe, and you added to it the 1.34 billion people living in Africa, you still would be smaller than the church today. I don't know if you've heard reports of, oh, the church is small, the church is this, the church is that. I'm just telling you, it's the largest religious group on the face of the planet, 2.5 billion people. So how did we get there? I mean, one man claiming to be the Son of God, that one man recruits 12 uneducated men, one of whom would turn his back on him and betray him. His campaign, it only lasted 3 years, but in those 3 years, Jesus gained hundreds of followers, but his immediate team, it was actually pretty small. But that's the moment that everything changed. Something changed in that moment with the number of followers. The church exploded into thousands. Here's the one thing that created the church that made it what it is. It's the resurrection of Christ. Be very, very clear about this. The church didn't invent the resurrection. The resurrection invented the church, because the church didn't exist before Jesus came back to life. Before the resurrection, here it is, you just had several hundred followers who were all headed home. They were headed home because they'd been defeated. Their leader had been killed on a cross and he was dead. So they were going home. The movement was over, but it was the resurrection thereafter that changed everything. And after Jesus came back to life, you know what he did? For 40 days, he hung out with them. Most of you probably don't know that. Maybe you've never heard that before, that after he came back to life, for 40 days, he showed himself to people. It started by he showed himself to some women at the tomb, and then to Peter and to the other disciples on that same night. And on one occasion, it says this in the scriptures, in 1 Corinthians 15, that he showed himself to 500 of his followers. And Paul writes about this, and then he writes this. He says, and many of whom, out of those 500, some of them are still alive. And he writes that as if to say, listen, you don't believe me that he came back to life? You go ask some of those 500 who were there when Jesus showed himself. The book of Acts describes the end of the 40 days that Jesus was around, and this is how it reads. It says this, after his suffering on the cross, he presented himself to them and gave them many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days, and he spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command, do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for my gift that my Father promised, which you've heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you're going to be baptized with the Holy Spirit. So here it is, one man crucified, dead, and buried, and brought back to life, to 12, to 500. And then don't miss this. There were 500. It's believed that when Jesus showed up to those 500, they were in Galilee where Jesus told them to go. And at the end of the 40 days, they go back to Jerusalem. You know who's at Jerusalem? There's 120 of them, is what the scripture says. In that moment, the 120 are in Jerusalem. They're waiting for this thing that Jesus promised. And in the midst of this, the 120, as they're meeting, this loud noise happened, this huge wind blows through. And it's the day that the Holy Spirit came to indwell every single follower of his and creates this big disruption in the city of Jerusalem. And Peter stands up and he says, "Let me tell you what's going on." And you know what he told them? He told them the story of the resurrection. That's what he told him. He didn't give him a teaching. He didn't give him a philosophy. He said this, "I want you to know about the resurrection." And on that day, it says that 3,000 people were added to the church. And if you're in the book of Acts chapter 2, you just turn the page over. Two chapters from then, it says that the church grew to 5,000. So here's my question. How did the church go from 1 to 5,000 in just a few months? It wasn't because the Christian faith was a philosophy. It wasn't because the Christian faith was an organized plan or a social media strategy. The only reason it grew so fast were these two things: the resurrection and the hope that it offers. That's why it grew. The growth was based on the fact that people saw Jesus died and they buried him. And then they went to go see him again in that tomb and he wasn't there. He came back to life and for 40 days he showed himself to them. Now, be real clear this. Sometimes you're like, "Wow, that's such a big event. That just must have been the cool thing to do in Jerusalem at the time." Be real clear on this. The church didn't grow and expand and explode in numbers because it was the cool new thing. The first 300 years of the church, you might know this, Christians were put to death. They were ostracized by their family. The Romans couldn't put up with a group of people that were gaining so many in number that were claiming, "Hey, we have a king," when Rome actually has a king. For the first 300 years of the Christian faith, Christians were killed. They were put in an arena and fed to wild animals just for sport. Make no mistake about it. The Christian faith didn't grow in the first 300 years because it was the cool new thing. When you joined it, it could cost you your life. But make no mistake about it, it grew like crazy. And it only took 300 years for the church to go from the enemy of Rome to the official Roman religion of the state. How did Christianity go from 12 followers to 2.5 billion followers? The answer is the resurrection and the hope that it offers. So let's talk about this morning. Ready? I just want to talk about four hopes that are connected to the resurrection. And can we be real honest this morning? You need hope. So do I. Our world needs hope, don't we? In the last 12 months, I've never seen our world this broken before. We're jacked up. And I don't mean them. Come on, people. I mean us. I mean me. I need hope. And over the last weeks, months, I've just been looking at the resurrection with fresh eyes to ask this: God, what's the hope that you want to give your people that is not just hope of a myth or hope of a fairy tale or hope that is something that we're contriving or making up, but it is hope that is based on the historical event of the resurrection? So here it is. Here's four hopes. The first is this. It's the hope that we are forgiven. This is the very central teaching of the cross. This is a promise that Jesus gave his followers. It was the night before he was going to die on a cross. He's in this upper room having dinner with his followers, and this is what he said. He held up a cup, and he said, "This is my blood of the covenant, the promise, which is poured out for many for the," here it is, "for the forgiveness of sins." That's why he died. I mean, Jesus, on multiple occasions, he claimed that his death would give us forgiveness because his death was paying the penalty for our sins. And this promise of forgiveness is huge. You know why? Because our world carries guilt and shame like you wouldn't believe. We all know that we're not perfect, right? You could probably say amen to that. We all know that we're not perfect, but truth be told, we carry guilt. And a lot of us carry shame with us. And so this promise is so big. But how do you know? I mean, how do you know that you can actually have forgiveness by Jesus' death on the cross? Listen to me. Anybody that's going to turn around and say, "Listen, I'm going to die. My blood is going to be shed. My body is going to be broken. I'm going to die, but I'm going to come back to life. And I'm going to die so that you can be forgiven." And then he turns around and pulls it off. listen to me, Silicon Valley, wherever you're watching online, wherever you're at, those of you in the room, listen, if you have yet to give your life to Christ because you think it's a myth, a fairy tale, something that people make up because Christianity is a crutch, you have to deal with the historical evidence that Jesus died and then they couldn't find him and nobody could produce his body. But what they had for 40 days was this living, breathing, walking, talking, eating Jesus right in front of them. You gotta wrestle with that. Because the Christian faith is not based off of hope and myth. It's based off of this historical event of the resurrection. And forgiveness, come on, let's be honest, it deeply matters to us, doesn't it? Isolation is suffering. And we've suffered this last year. And here's what I know about people who suffer. They turn to habits they thought they kicked. They turn to things that, man, they thought they had been done away with in their life. And I just know this, that it's not just the world that's suffering under guilt. It's us too. But the world will tell you something about guilt and forgiveness. The world's going to tell you, listen, you messed up and we're going to cancel you in our cancel culture. We're going to rub it in your face if we find out your mistake. That's how the world deals with it. The world's going to tell you God can't love you. You've messed up too much. Did you know this, that when Jesus hung on the cross, one of the things he said, he looks at the criminal who's hanging next to him and dying too, and he forgives him. If he could forgive that person in that last moment who has nothing to offer Jesus, he offers you that same forgiveness today as well. So that there's the first hope, forgiveness. Here's the second, that we're empowered to change the world. We were given a promise by Jesus during those 40 days. This is the promise he gives. It says in Luke 24, it says, this is what is written, the Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day. And repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations beginning at Jerusalem. Well, who's going to preach? Who's going to share? Who's going to tell the story? Here's what the scripture says. You are witnesses of these things. I'm going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you've been clothed with power from on high. He told his followers in those 40 days, you hang out here in Jerusalem, something's going to happen. And here's what's going to happen. You're going to be clothed with power. Power to do what? Here's how Acts describes it. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. You'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria to the ends of the earth. Power to do what? Power to be a witness. Power to share your story. Power for those 120 that heard that promise. Power for them to stand up and say, I saw the risen Jesus. And when they told people about it, 3,000 people said, I want that. I want that forgiveness. I want the hope. I want that empowerment in my own life. Here's what the world's going to tell you. The world's going to tell you, listen, you can't even change yourself. What makes you think God would empower you to change the world? Truth be told, there's a lot of us that we just don't live in God's power. We want the forgiveness, the first promise, but we're not sure we really want to live in the power. And the world's going to tell you this, Christianity, it's a fairy tale. It's a crutch. It's hypocritical. It's the same as every other religion. The world is going to tell you that you can't change the world. You're too small and the problems are too big. Please don't buy that lie. Because of the resurrection, Jesus made it clear on multiple occasions that what lives inside every Christian is the same Holy Spirit that by his power raised Jesus from the dead. Stop and let that blow your mind for a minute. The same Holy Spirit that breathed life back into Jesus and brought him from the grave is the same Holy Spirit that lives in you. When we don't change, it's because we've told ourselves we can't change. The power of God that lives in us does two things. It empowers us to live a new life, and it empowers us to share the story of who God is. So let me give you the third hope. That is the promise that Jesus gives us. It's this, that we have a purpose, that our life has a purpose. In this valley, listen, we're all real honest about this. A lot of us are just trying to survive, right? This is a tough place to make it, but it's created a world where we're all focused on us because if we don't take care of us, who will? I know one who will. When we focus on the purpose that God has given us, he takes care of us. Our world will tell you, listen, you need to make money. That's what will make you significant. There's a scarcity out there, so you better look after yourself. And Jesus gave us a far better purpose. It wasn't about us, actually. It's the impact we can make in the world around us. Here's how he said it. He said, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, here's your mission. Here's your purpose in your life. Go and make disciples. You know what he means by that? He simply means this. Go and help people discover the truth of the resurrection and the hope that it offers. Your purpose, your fulfillment, your joy, your impact in this world is never going to be forgotten if you embrace your purpose, because people's lives will be different because you help them share. You help them know about the resurrected Jesus Christ. Parents, let me just speak to you for a sec. There's a lot of things we can pass on to our kids. We can pass on character, morals, a healthy family experience. You can pass on a college education, a house, a trust fund. And none of those are bad. Those are all good things. But the real gift I think that we can give our kids is the hope of the resurrection. And can I just say this? I know that there's some parents who backed away from that for two reasons. One, they're like, well, that might make me talk about my own life and how I've been, and I don't want to talk with my kids about the real me and who I am. Listen, your kids don't want perfection because that's too hard for them to live up to. And the truth is they'd be living up to false perfection, right? They also don't want a parent who has all the answers. So maybe parents, one of the best gifts you can give your kids is to lean in and say this, I don't have all the answers and I'm a little messed up too, but what if you and I discovered this thing about the resurrection and the hope and the promise of Jesus? What if we discovered it together? It's a tremendous gift, the best gift you'll ever hand your kids. So let me talk about the fourth promise here. It's this, you're loved and you're not alone. When Jesus handed us the mission of making disciples, he also gave us a promise. Here's what he said. He said, surely I'm with you. I'm with you always to the very end of the age. This is critical for the season that we have lived in isolation and suffering. It makes us think faulty things. I don't know if you've had these thoughts in the last 12 months, but if you've ever had the thought, I am alone. Nobody cares about me. God is not here for me. I don't have any friends. Everybody just cares about themselves, and God is absent. Let me just tell you, that is a lie. Don't believe it. It's the things that our minds go through when we suffer isolation. Here's the truth. God loves you, and God is with you. The same God that resurrected his son from the dead says, I will be with you. He doesn't mean that he's going to remove all the hurt and pain, right? Life is still going to be hard, but he says, I'm going to be with you in the midst of it. Not only is God with you, you know what? He gave you a group of people to be with you too, so that literally you don't have to be alone. And the group he gave you is the local church, because a healthy local church, I believe this, is the hope of the world. It's the group that God is empowering to change people's lives. This church has been here for 171 years. Involved in the community and inviting people to come and be a part of God's family. Don't miss this. The church is the people of God gathered together to encourage and support one another and to bear witness to the truth of the resurrection. Listen, you are not alone. I don't think there's a badge of honor in trying to do life alone. Doing life alone doesn't actually make you strong. It actually just means that you're missing out on something great. But I know that some of you backed away from the church because you're like, nah, I went there and I met those people. I'm not sure they're my kind of people. The church is not a place of perfect people. We're a group of sinners who've discovered the resurrection and forgiveness of God. We're messed up, but we're also confident that God is working in us, through us, and among us. We're a forgiven people with a purpose who believe that we're empowered to change the world, and that's what the church is. So here's what we're going to do. Those are four hopes that we get directly from the resurrection. So can I ask you this question? Let's make this personal right now. Based off of those four hopes, is there any decision that you want to make today? And here's what I mean by that. The first decision is this. Let me run through all four, and one of these might strike you as, yeah, you know what? That one's for me. Here's the first one. If the truth is you are forgiven, maybe you need to choose to begin a relationship with Jesus by accepting his gift of forgiveness. Listen, if you're not a Christian, this is the starting place. You can't jump to 2, 3, or 4. This is the place where you need to begin. God offers you forgiveness, and he offers you friendship. But he offered you that by Jesus' death on the cross. But here's what's required of us. Ready? To admit. Yeah, you know what? I'm not perfect. I'm a little messed up. I've done life my own way. And the scriptures call it, yeah, I've sinned. But no matter what you've done, hear me. Whether you're watching online and you're wondering, God wouldn't forgive me. Or you purposely sat in the back row because you didn't want anybody to see you here because you're not sure God loves you. You're not sure you're worth it. I want you to hear this. God loves you. And you're absolutely worth it to him, but it means admitting that we're, the scriptures call it, sinners. You can start this friendship with God today by just accepting Jesus' gift of the death of his life paying for your sins. By the way, you don't even have to know how to have that relationship with God before you say yes to it. We will walk with you in it. We're all stumbling our way through the whole process as well. Here's the second decision. If the truth is that we are empowered, maybe you're going to choose to live in the power that he offers. Remember when Jesus came back to life those 40 days and he met with 500 people in Galilee? He showed up and then he's like, hey, by the way, go back to Jerusalem, hang out there. How many were in Jerusalem? Do you remember? 120. What happened to the 380? Probably the same thing that happens to Christians from Easter Sunday to Monday morning. We get busy. We have obligations. We're trying to survive. We're doing life. Maybe they got discouraged or disinterested. I don't know how you get disinterested from seeing a resurrected person. But we do, don't we? This relationship with God is an absolute daily thing. So maybe this is your decision. I am finally going to live daily with God and trust that he's going to empower me. First, to change. Second, to make a difference in my world. Here's the third choice, maybe. And by the way, there's four choices here. Please don't pick all four. I'm just asking this, which one of these is marking your soul today? The third is this. If you have a purpose, maybe you're going to choose to engage in your purpose by being a disciple maker. I mean, man, disciple maker sounds so big, right? Maybe you're deciding to become a person who's going to finally be an influencer so you can tell people, just, this is who I am and this is what I do and this is the God who loves me and he offered his son. Listen, you might not have all the answers, but you're going to invite people to discover this life with Jesus. You might not know the right Bible verse to share, but listen, you can share your story, can't you? Here's the fourth and final thing. Maybe it's the decision to choose community instead of being alone. Today, you're willing to be loved by God, and that sounds so private, and it is, but it's also very, very public. Maybe today you're gonna say, I'm gonna get involved in a community of God's people. You're committing to not remaining anonymous. You are choosing to get involved with believers. And can I just say this? This is how you do it. Just contact us. We'll help you. Maybe you know the group that you want to get involved in. Maybe you don't. I don't care if it's this church or another church. But if you need help, just send us an email, info@churchonthehill.com, and we will walk with you in that. So here's the four decisions. You ready? Choose a relationship with God by the forgiveness that Jesus offers. That's the first one. And I know there's some of you that are watching and some of you here today that's the decision that you want to make. Here's the second thing. Choose to live in the daily power that God offers you. Here's the third thing. Choose to engage in your purpose by sharing about who Christ is. The fourth thing. Choose community instead of being alone. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to give you an opportunity in just a moment to be courageous. Because to say privately, yes, this is the decision I'm making, it very well might be so private that it doesn't create a change in your life. But I think these moments where God invites us to make a decision for him, I think it requires something of a public nature. And so I'm not going to embarrass you, but I think I'm going to invite you to just be a little bit courageous. So here's what I'm going to invite you to do. In just a moment, if one of those four things you're going to decide to do, that's a decision for you today that you're not just deciding today, but you're following through on that, I'm going to invite you in just a moment to stand to your feet, okay? I'm not going to make you come up here. No one's going to walk up to you and say anything, but I want you to self-identify, to say, this is me. I'm making a decision. Here's why, so that it sticks. So here's what we're going to do. If one of those decisions is a decision that you need to make today, not need, but you want and you desire to make this today, then here we go. You ready? I want you to just stand to your feet right now. If you're going to give your life to Christ and say, I need forgiveness, if you're going to finally live in the power or embrace the purpose or you're going to get involved, I just want you to stand to your feet. And I see you. Thank you. I see you. I'm going to pray. Don't sit down yet, okay? Don't sit down yet. I'm going to pray for us. And I don't want to just pray. I want you to pray. And I'm going to pray through these four things, and one of those might be those things that, yes, that's what I'm praying. Then you put that in your own words, or you repeat those words, and I just want you to, with all of your heart, to say, God, I'm serious about this. This is a life-changing, no turning back moment for you. And by the way, I'm not leaving out you at home too. If you're in your living room right now, it might be a little awkward. Your family's looking at you. Stand up too. Go for it. It'll be courageous, but it'll be life-changing. So here we go. Let me pray. And as I pray, you pray the prayer that God has led you to. Here we go. God, we admit this, that we are all sinners. We all have our hang-ups, but we accept that Jesus died on the cross for us. And we receive that forgiveness today, and we say no to guilt, and we accept this brand new life that you give us, God, and we choose daily that you will empower us to change our habits, empower us to lead people to know you. And God, we choose to take seriously the purpose of making disciples. God, we're going to trust that you're going to empower that. It's not just up to us, but we're committing to being sharers, to being inviters, to telling our story. And God, today we choose community. We push back our fear that makes us sit in the anonymity of the shadows. And we trust that this church will love us with open arms. God, thank you. God, I thank you for second chances. Thank you for your love that knows no bounds. Thanks for the gift of Jesus. Thank you for his death. Thank you for the resurrection and the hope that it offers. And then everybody together said, amen. Can I invite you to do this? Everybody, let's stand up. If today was a decision and you stood up and you prayed something like that, here's what I want you to do right now. Ready? Take out your phone. I mean, when does the pastor say that in church? I'm serious. Take out your phone. And I want you to send me an email right now. I want you to write it right as we're about to sing, info@churchonthehill.com. And I just want you to share the decision that you made. We're not going to bother you. We're not going to be obnoxious with you. We just want to encourage you and celebrate with you. Because by the way, let's celebrate together. There are people who made decisions for Christ today and decisions to follow him. So can we just celebrate that and say, thank you, God? All right, we're going to keep doing that. Band, lead us in singing.